In this episode of Forbidden Fruit Podcast, we're going to do things a little differently. My good friend Drea, the host of Drea's Point of View Podcast, asked me to do a takeover episode on fatherhood, and she was so gracious to allow me to re-air that episode on this platform. So I hope you enjoy this episode that's extremely near and dear to my heart. I wouldn't be who I am today without my son. I attribute my growth over the past 8 years to him and the Most High. And don't forget to check out Drea's Point of View on all podcast platforms to include Spotify. And like always, be tempted. So my good friend Drea asked me to record on Father's Day. So ironically enough, I don't really celebrate too many man-made holidays to include Father's Day. However, fatherhood to me means a lot. It's actually really shaped who I am as a person. I would not be who I am right now if it wasn't for my son and dealing with everything around being a father, specifically being a single father. So, but why is that though? So the reason for me, I believe, is so important is because I really didn't have like a good father. So to kind of paint the picture, so my dad was abusive to my mom, and it was at a time where I was too young to know, but as I got older, it kind of came out. And so I think with my mom, she was angry just in the situation because she stayed with him because of me. And I think a lot of her anger towards the situation was displaced towards me. And then it was a bit of a tough go when it comes to me and my mom's interaction. And my mom is a great mother, but again, a lot of her anger came out in how she dealt with me as a child. So you have that layer of it. And then my father to me was, and looking back at it, I would say emotionally abusive, really not encouraging at all. So an example would be, like, I'm extremely athletic. I'm naturally athletic. However, I never really got into sports because my father was always like belittling me when it came to stuff like that. I remember when I was young. I mean, I could have been like six or seven at the time, probably younger than that. And I said, you know, Daddy, I want to play football. And his response was, well, you're too soft to play football. And so imagine that, you know, hearing that like as a young child. I remember it was another instance where I really got into basketball. And so we were at this park, we were at this gym. They had multiple basketball courts going on. And on one court, they had this AAU team playing, running scrimmages. And I was on the other court just practicing, getting shots up, you know, playing, having a good time. And my dad was like, hey, you need to come over here and watch them play. And I was like, well, Dad, I'm over here playing, having a good time. I'm playing ball. He was like, no, you need to come over here because you're not good. And you need to see what it looks like to play good basketball. And so it was a lot of that kind of stuff growing up. Also, I have an older brother, and he had him in the situation where he was in high school. So it was almost kind of like the kid that he was ashamed of. And so for whatever reason, he kept me away from my brother. Now, my brother's like, I don't know. I don't think you can find somebody more supportive of me than my brother. I mean, if I told him I wanted to be an astronaut, like, he'd be telling everybody, like, my brother's going to be an astronaut. And so it's almost to a fault, to be honest. But to kind of paint the picture as far as the kind of father he was with my older brother, he kept us apart intentionally. And then, you know, he didn't really raise him. He dropped him off at my grandma's house and was, you know, that was it. Didn't really deal with him at all. And then even now, he, like, my brother has two grown kids, like, that have graduated high school, and he's never met them, not one time in their life. And so for me, and I think for him as well, he would probably say, is the incentive or the motivation to be a good father is to not be like the father that we had. And the crazy thing about it was, we didn't really know, you know, so how can you become a good father or do something well, regardless of what it is, with absolutely no good example as to how to do it or execute. And then you kind of ramp that up. And so the only example of the thing that you want to be good at is like the worst way to go about it. So for me, the incentive to be a better father is so my son can have a better upbringing than I did. So honestly, and I can definitely attribute him, who I am, because of my son, because the level of resiliency, the mental toughness that it had to take to kind of deal with that whole, single parent situation, being isolated away from my family because my mom lives in a different state. I have my son in Colorado. And so just kind of navigating that alone, it just really made me grow at a rate that I was not growing currently. And so now, and the biggest joy of being a father is you can kind of see a lot of yourself in your kid, right? And so it almost kind of jaded me, right? Like, so how can I, the way that I look at my son is like, how could any father look at their child and like belittle him, be emotionally abusive or whatever? Like, how can you just do that? Because I mean, my son is so genuine. He's extremely, the way that he thinks now is crazy socially. I mean, when he was 2 years old, I took him to the gym for the first time. I really worked myself up to taking him because I was nervous, a new parent or whatever. And I dropped him off, came back like in a tizzy, like, how did he do? Is he okay? Is he fine? And the lady just like, she was just, in awe. She was like, your son stole my heart. When you left, he came and sat down next to me and asked me how my day was. He was 2 years old at this time. And I think something that really brought me and my son closer is because, ironically enough, I was imitating my mother's parenting style with him. And her seeing that from the outside looking in, it kind of brought us together because she pretty much said, hey, the way I treated you, the way I raised you was wrong. And then like all of the background of the emotional, I guess, angst and trauma of how she dealt with me came out. And so I understand why she was the way she was with me, because there was some animosity there, to be honest. But the moment that really snapped me out of perpetuating that parenting cycle that started with my father and how he treated my mother, and then my mother perpetuating that with me, and then me subconsciously not really knowing why I was raising my son the same way, is when at my grandmother's funeral. So last year my grandmother passed, and so we went to the funeral, and it was just certain moments in him that was just, I don't know, it just made me really appreciate who he was. It's allowed me to see the innocence in him. So there was one period of time where we were at the wake, and so everyone was kind of walking up and looking at the body and just kind of having their moments and crying. And I think my mom kind of had a moment, and I went up there and hugged her, and then my son came up and he hugged us, and then everyone sat down, and then my son walked up on his own. No one sent in the casket except him. And he just put his hands behind his back, and he was just like looking at my grandma with like this reverence. And it was just, you can't teach that. Like, no one taught him that. And there was another moment where, so during the funeral, like I just kind of hit that breaking point where it's just like everything just kind of came out, and I was just like crying hysterically. And I had this handkerchief in my hand, and I was wiping my face, and he took it from me. And I was like, son, let me just wipe my face. Mom was like, let daddy have his moment. Like, he's trying to wipe his face. He's crying. And he said, no, I want to wipe daddy's face. Like, I want to wipe his eye. And I think that was just the moment where the gravity of one losing my grandmother. So the dealing with the idea of mortality sitting there in my face, and then like my son being right there, having a level of maturity at the age of 6, or really 5 at this point, is just, it makes you appreciate a lot of different things. And it just really grounded me in a certain way, and in totality it made me just understand what's more important. And so with my son, just seeing him evolve, and I'll be honest, seeing him grow and seeing him evolve, and understanding that, I mean, not in a narcissistic way, but a lot of that, it comes from me. But when you're a child and that growing up in that environment, you don't really get the chance of just naturally evolving, because you're so you're reacting to the environment in a defensive way. So you don't really get to see this in yourself. And so me having my son is just understanding, like, hey, you know what, like, I am, you know, a good person. I am, you know, this and that. And so I think seeing him grow up really caused me to understand a lot about myself. It really caused me to appreciate myself, because I mean, again, it's like, you know, everyone loves a child unconditionally. Well, you should, I should say. But again, it's just, why can't I continue to feel that way about myself, right? Because after a while, life gets a hold of you and you kind of have like this self-defense perspective or lens at the world because you're trying to survive or try to, you know, sustain your happiness, etc. And so fatherhood to me is so much more than being a parent. And I mean, and to be completely honest, my son has raised me more over the past 6 years than I have raised him. Like, I mean, the rate of growth that I've had is, it's like night and day in comparison to the previous, you know, 29 years of my life. So fatherhood is, for me, it's crazy. It's almost like it's more so about me than it is him. But he's like the cherry on top, right? And so he's, and again, like, he's just a good kid. And then watching him, you know, be athletic, you know, it just, you know, it makes you, I don't know, it just makes you reflect on yourself. And the incentive of being a good parent is almost, in a way, protecting a younger version of yourself, right? So with my father pretty much belittling me and just not encouraging me to go out for sports. And so for me, it's like, well, let me protect a younger version of me by encouraging my son to be athletic, encouraging him to be social, encouraging him to read more and explore different things. And I'm always taking him places. I'm taking him to all kinds of sporting events, theme parks, like exhibits. I think Jurassic Park was here a few months ago. I took him to that. Literally any and everything I take him to, so he can maybe find like that spark, like what it is that he's interested in. At a minimum, just, you know, have these moments and these experiences, right? Because, I mean, for me, that's the one thing you could take with you when you die, are memories, right? The one time that I, you know, the first time I took my son, you know, to see my grandma, or just all these things, you know, long after I'm gone, those are the things that I can hang on to. So that's what fatherhood is for me. It's really a chance of giving, it's almost like giving myself a second chance through my son. Now, I'm not saying live through him, like, you're not trying to impose what you wanted to do or wish you did as a child on him. But at the same time, you're limiting the restrictions that I had as a child through my upbringing and just seeing what the possibilities are. So I'm not emotionally abusive to him. I'm supportive. Whatever he wants to do, we can do it. I encourage him. And so me watching him grow up without the restrictions, it's just like opening a gift every year, right? So that's what parenting is for me, or being a father is to me. And it's now he's at the point where he can express, I would say, indirect gratitude, right? Like, I mean, he'll say, you know, my daddy's good at this, or, you know, I want to be like this, like my dad. And so when they're young, like 2, 3, and 4, obviously they're not articulate to express gratitude, but now it's kind of at the point where all of this stuff is coming to fruition. And it's great. It's, you know, it's good to earn the respect of your son or your child. And it's not just like this authoritative, you know, I'm father, you need to listen to me. It's a genuine admiration that I'm starting to see in him. And that's just, again, that's something that I've always wanted. Because even as I look back at my life, I realized a lot of the things that I did subconsciously was to almost validate myself to my father. Like, whether it be, you know, playing rugby, boxing, joining the military, you know, doing these things to, you know, get the approval of a guy, of a male figure, although I would never get that from him. So being able to have my son in a position to where he can never have to clamor for that, it's always baked in, it's huge for me. So that's how I look at fatherhood. It's really it's really the one of the most rewarding things I've ever been a part of, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't even change my upbringing for the world, because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be the father that I am now, and I wouldn't be having the experiences that I have with my son that I'm having right now. So extremely grateful to be able to share this information with you guys on this platform. And Drea, thank you again for the opportunity to connect with your audience, and you guys have a great day. Hey, this is Nick Moore, your host. I understand that time is life, which is why I'm so grateful that you would take the time to listen to the Forbidden Fruit podcast. It's something that I don't take lightly. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, please share this with a friend. You can also show your support by downloading, following, or subscribing to the podcast, as well as leaving a review on Apple Podcast. Don't forget to turn on your notifications so you don't miss an episode. Find me on Instagram at podcast_fruit. I will love to hear from you. And like always, until then, be tempted.